Well, did you come ready to receive?
Amen.
We are in for a treat. Praise God. You know, Reverends Rich and Daphne are friends of mine, but that's not why they're here tonight. They're here because they have something from heaven. Amen. I have a lot of friends we just won't give the pulpit to. Amen. But they happen to be just such dear friends of mine, and we've had a connection for quite a while now and just love them and so appreciate them. And, you know, I have high respect for missionaries because y'all know my testimony that one of the reasons that I didn't sell out to God right away when I got born again was because I was afraid he would make me be a missionary. And I didn't want to be a missionary. Why? Because, of course, we know now, and my mind's renewed, that wherever God calls you and whatever he has for you, whatever it is, if it's being a church cleaner your whole life, it's being a church parking lot time, if it's a pastor, if it's a missionary, the important thing is to do what he wants you to do. That's where the blessing is. But, of course, I didn't know all that back then, and I didn't want to be a missionary because, you know, missionaries, they have to leave their family. They have to go far away at times. And I have such high regard and respect for people that answer that call and are willing to sacrifice their own maybe personal wants and desires for the kingdom of God and to go far away overseas in a place like Spain, you know, and are willing to do that for the body of Christ. So we are blessed tonight. Amen. We're in the company of people that love God, love Jesus, love the Holy Ghost, want his plan, want to see God's plan go forward. So praise God. So we're ready to receive. Amen? So let's stand to our feet and let's give a warm welcome to Reverends Rich and Daphne Walker.
All right, all right. Well, I'm going to stand up, so why don't you stand with me all service, huh? No, you may be seated is what I was taught to say. So, hello. I like to look at pretty people, so give me a minute here. Wow, all right, a good-looking bunch. I'm in the right place. You guys look great. It's such an honor to be here. And, you know, what a wonderful family here. I was thinking earlier, I know it may sound funny, but, you know, we're guest ministers, right? And so the first thing we're supposed to do when we get up here is say how great your pastors are and how wonderful they are and how much we believe in them and how dear they are to us. And I thought, they know I'm supposed to do that. What can I say that'll make them think I really believe it? and so all I'll say is I do believe it. I love these guys. And it's been too long since we've seen Pastor Mike. I guess, I don't know if we did something wrong one time. He doesn't let us near his wife anymore. But, or his kids either. So, you know, he likes to take us off to the side. No, I'm sure they're busy, and we love them all so much and miss them, and you know, we do. We love you guys. So actually, I have a secret desire. Do any of you, I mean, we're not going into anything, but, you know, I have this secret desire tonight that I wish I could do. You want to hear what my little secret is? Okay. I wish that I could turn the service back over to Pastor Mike and listen to what he has. You know, I really do. I'd love to do that. I'm going to speak. I'm on. Okay, so we're not going to do it. But anyway, we love you guys. And of course, I could also, you know, go on and on. I have a long history with many of the people in this room. That my dad and mom and sister are here. We've known each other for a while. He was one of my first connections. Mary Jo is here. I don't know what she's done with. Okay, but anyway, I don't see Rick, but anyway, Mary Jo was my youth leader. How old were you? Like five when I was 12, right? Or, you know. So we have stories that will never be told. That's what happens in youth groups. But they've been such a special part of my life. You know, wonderful partners, and just love you all. And I could take the whole service doing that. But let me also, I always try to take time to thank my lovely wife for doing this with me. I need you. And I need Jesus most, but I love you and just am so appreciative of everything that you bring to me. Hey, you know, when you're on the mission field, you don't have an abundance.
Did you disown your aunt and uncle?
There they are. Okay, all right. I'm sorry. You guys, they kind of blend into the... Okay, let me tell you. Was anyone here Sunday? The reason I didn't mention Uncle Jim and Aunt Sue is because he tried to take my service. Pastor Mike accidentally announced that, if you weren't here Sunday, Pastor Mike accidentally announced that Uncle Jim was going to take the service. And so that's why I haven't wanted to bring him up, because I was concerned that, long time, long history. My grandparents actually raised us like... like we were all one big family, you know. Dad was dad and mom were like dad and mom to my cousins. Uncle Jim and Aunt Sue, like dad and mom to me. And Uncle Jim is the one who made me finish the milk in my cereal. I do it to this day. That was one of his things. And every time I have cereal, I'm just like, Uncle Jim, I gotta finish this milk. No, I'm not bitter. I like milk. So anyway, we've had a great. We're just so blessed. I raised Walker. I still think I had the best upbringing of anyone anywhere. So you guys can argue that if you want, but I better start or else. We're gonna be here a while, and so my wife already started my clock, so that's a good thing. So let us pray, and you know, just let me say again, though, how much I love and appreciate all of you so much. Love you all, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and of course we honor your people. But not like we honor you, or we certainly want to give you your place of honor. Father God, I'd like to talk about you. I'd like to boast on you. You've been such a good father to me. You've been such a good God to me. Lord Jesus, you're such a good Lord to me. I just love you. I love to walk with you and to know you more and more. We love you so much. Just so enthralled by who you are. You've always been so much to me. And you're so much to all of us. And you know, when we come to church, it's not our desire to hear a man speak. When I come, I would just love to have you show up and be able to turn this pulpit over to you and sit at your feet and hear your word. But Lord, you choose to use vessels of clay. So let it be like that tonight. Let it be like I sit down and just through my mouth and through my mind, just think and speak and be lifted up and be glorified and do everything you want to do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I know Pastor Mike is a wonderful preacher and teacher of the Word of God. And I happen to know one of his very favorite things to teach on is the subject of faith. Isn't that a great thing to hear and to study? So I don't have any idea why I'm going to talk about faith tonight. But sometimes, you know, there's a perspective or an angle that someone else can bring and just add to the good work that's already been done and bring us to a place of even greater fruitfulness, you know. And so we're just going to trust the Lord that's what's going to happen here tonight. So let's start in Song of Solomon 2. I know you all have been in Song of Solomon a lot lately. And, so that's why we're going there. Song of Solomon, verse 2. And I'm going to talk about, I have this sense, and I could miss it, I'm just human, but I have this sense that there's at least one person here tonight that's been asking themselves why their faith isn't working. You know, they've been believing God for some things, and they've done everything they know to do, and it's just time is passing, and whether it's a sickness that they need healing from or a financial situation or whatever it might be, It's just not moving for them. And you know, maybe even there's a temptation to lose hope, to say, you know, either this isn't true or it's not true for me. I'm a mess up. You know, we all deal with different thoughts. But, you know, I've come here tonight all the way from Spain, right, to help you identify why your faith hasn't been producing the way we believe it should. And then just to help you be able to make some little tweaks in order to just see that run on full, on all eight cylinders, if you will, to see, because it's God's plan that our faith produce the results that he has for us. You know, he wants us to live in his blessings, to live in the fullness of what he has for us. And that's to bless us. He loves us. We're his kids. But that also has a great impact on our church, on our community, on the lost. And so God has a plan to bless and help establish his covenant on the earth through our faith walk. It's not just a selfish thing, but it's part of this grand plan of God. So we're going to start in Song of Solomon's 2:15. And the word of God declares, Song of Solomon's 2:15, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." And you know, I want you to understand that most of the time when our faith isn't producing like it should, it's really the little things that can come in and cause that to not come to pass fully or cause that to be aborted. And I did a little bit of a word study with some of these words, and we could say it like this, looking into the Hebrew. It says, take hold of the littlest foxes that destroy the garden or the vineyard, because our garden is in blossom. All right? In other words, if you can think of any sort of, you know, grapes or any sort of fruit or plant, you know, there are tender stages in their development. We're cherry and grape farmers, as you know, we, right? They do all the work, and I still get to say we're cherry and grape farmers. But you know, there's a time I know from growing up on the farm when the cherries are the most sensitive, and that's when they come into bloom. You know, at that time, if it freezes or if something, you know, if it's too cold for the bees to pollinate, I mean, that's where you lose your crop. Now, you know, we have the trees. We fertilized them, we trimmed them, we did all the right things with them, but right in that tender time, something came in and destroyed the fruit, you know, and that can happen in our faith. You know, we prayed, we believed, we confessed, but you know, there's a way sometimes for little things to get in and to bring destruction to our faith garden. And We're gonna make sure that we know what those things are, and keep them from getting in and destroying what God has for us. Because I believe we're in an important time in South Dayton. I believe we're in an important time in the body of Christ, a time when God wants to move us forward more into the revival that he has for this era, into a greater understanding of some of his things, into some growth, and it's important that our faith is fine-tuned and ready to receive everything. Pastor Michael, by the Spirit of God, Pastor Mike and my pastor, you probably know Pastor Michael Luketic, you know, he received by the Spirit of God. It's a time of easy receiving. Well, I don't know if you know, but we receive by faith. So even though it, you know, and it's easy, it's gonna be easier, but that doesn't mean that those little foxes still can't get in. You know, it didn't say, you know, that it's impossible. It's going to be easier, but we still have to understand, because there's a lot to receive, and it's a time of easy receiving, but let's shut the door. Amen. Let's plug the dam. Yes. So that nothing gets in and eats any of our easy. Yes. No one's going to eat my easy, you know, my easy receiving. And so So go with me to, I know Pastor Mike probably hasn't showed you this verse before, but Mark chapter 11, verse 23 has got some things in it, like I say, you probably don't know about. But have you ever, I'll tell him about it so he'll show you later. I know Pastor Mike is a wonderful teacher of faith. I'm playing around with all of you. This is a place we've always been, but you know, I want to, Pastor Mike has probably told you this before, but I want you to, when I read this tonight, I want you to think about it differently. I want you to think that I'm up here talking and all of a sudden these doors swing open and in walks about 5'9", 5'10", in a robe and his Roman sandals, in walks the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to you guys, I've come to South Dayton for this purpose, to let you know that from now on, when you walk out that door, whatever you say with your mouth and believe in your heart, that it'll come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you say. If you saw Jesus in the flesh, and he said to you, this is it. From this day on, if you say something from out of your mouth and believe it in your heart, you will absolutely have it. I guarantee it. What would that do for us? We'd be all be walking on air, and we'd be talking, baby. Can I call you baby? We'd be saying it, wouldn't we? But we have a more sure word of prophecy according to 2 Peter chapter 1. We have a more sure word of prophecy. So I can do you one better. That has happened plus. So get out there and speak and believe and see the glory of God. All right, here we go. For verily I say unto you, verse 23, Jesus, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. Well, I see some things in this verse, these verses, that reveal to us some things that can be little foxes, little things that get in and rob us of God's best. And then I also added some others that I believe the Lord would have me talk about. And I'm going to list them all off to you. There's six of them because, frankly, I don't think we're going to get to all of them. Or if we do, we'll do it in a very brief way. But there's something that you can study on your own. You can do some research. That's why I'm going to just give you everything that the Lord gave me up front, because I believe in homework. You know, Pastor Mike is a wonderful pastor, but how much does he have you? Maybe, you know, 2 hours a week, maybe four, maybe six. I don't know how, but six would be a lot. Well, let me ask you a question. How much time does the CBS Evening News have you a week? How much time does, I don't even know, the Kardashians? I don't know what's on TV. Help me out. American Idol, I know that's old. You know, how much time does TV have you? You know, how much time does your lost friends have you? How much time does your relatives that don't know the Lord have you? You know, so, we do everything we can to help each one of us walk in all that God has for us. But you know what? It's the things that you do every day at home, the things you read, the things you say, the things you study, you know, that are going to really take that foundation and take what that pastoral office has put in you and help you live way up above all that. You know, and again, if we could come, look, we do this every night, but guess what happens? I know not you guys, but some people stop coming. You know, so we just can't, you know, right? So you know, we're here as much as you'll be here, and then you go ahead and add to those things. Okay, so in your own study. So the first little fox that spoils our vines are our words. Jesus talks a lot about saying here, so making sure that we're speaking the right things. The second one is too much time outside of the Word of God, like we were just talking about. That'll rob us blind when we aren't spending enough time in God's Word. Repetitive praying of the prayer of faith robs us of God's blessing. Unforgiveness and a lack of the love walk robs us of our faith, fruitful faith. Undisciplined thinking robs us of our faith. Undisciplined thinking. And the last one is wrong relationships. Those are the six things that I have. I'm sure there's others, but the six that I felt impressed to talk about tonight that rob us of the blessings of God. You know, the Lord once said to Brother Hagin, so talking about those words, you know, Brother Hagin used to say when he would hear people saying the wrong things, he would say, your words are tripping you up. Your words are tripping you up. And I can tell you, if we're speaking words that aren't faith, then that is our problem. You know, that's what's tripping us up. And you know, it's easy to say in church and amen and, you know, I'm a minister and so, but what are we saying in the car? What are we saying at home? What are we saying? You know, hey, I admit I'm not perfect, you know, but I'm endeavoring, you know, when I say something that's not faith and I recognize. Another thing, let me give you another little secret. If you're not noticing yourself saying things you shouldn't be saying, that doesn't mean you're not saying things you shouldn't be saying. You know, it's actually a good sign when you're noticing, I don't believe that. I'm not going to stay with that. You know, forgive me, Lord, or say the opposite. Because, you know, if you're not noticing it, it's, you know, maybe you've gotten more sanctified than I have, but probably there are things that are coming out of your mouth that we're letting sit. We shouldn't. You know what I mean? And Brother Hagin, the Lord told Brother Hagin that there's say three times in that verse 23, and believe only one time. And he said, listen, you're going to have to teach on saying three times as much as you do on believing, because my people aren't missing it. Generally, they're not missing it in their believing; they're missing it in their speaking. But the words that we speak are so important. And, you know, I was with somebody, a good Christian person, nobody in here, recently, and, you know, they're a faith person, and they believe in, and they were talking about, they believe in God for their healing, and they were just trying to communicate to me, you know, that they weren't feeling well. And they're like, well, you know, I was standing, and I was believing, and I was believing it wasn't gonna come, but now it's here to stay. You know, again, good people, but they're not, you know, they're not necessarily believing for that, but they're just trying to communicate something, you know, in a natural sense. But you know, I don't recommend you do this, but I said to them, I said, you know, now just be careful, because you know, I know what you're trying to say. But your testimony is that your sickness is here to stay. You know, you may want to adjust that testimony at least a little bit, or else it's here to stay. It's here to stay. You know what I mean, right? Because we'll have whatsoever we believe and say. And that works both ways, right? So let me just, you know. I mean, we could talk so much. Let's go to James chapter 3 and verse 2. This is such a wonderful study and topic. I'll give you a little secret while you're going there. We won't turn there. But I'm sure Pastor Mike has taught you a lot about how we're three-part beings, right? Spirit, soul, and body. And our spirits are born again, made in the image of God, righteous, you know, no sin nature left. So that part of us is good, redeemed when we're born again, right? But then there's two other parts of us, our soul, our emotions, and our mind, our thinking. And that's one part. Our soul is our emotions and our mind. And then there's our body, that physical part of us, right? Now, as we're going to James chapter 3, verse 2, I just want you to know that Proverbs 21:23 says that he who keeps his tongue keeps his soul from evil or from problems, okay? So if you can keep your tongue, you can control that the problem area of your soul. All right, so I'm going to go to James 3:2. I'm not good at talking and going at the same time. I don't walk and chew gum at the same time either. So 3:2 says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle his body." Now, wait a minute. If Proverbs 21:23 says that, or it might be 23:21, forgive me, says that I can keep my soul from trouble through my words, and if James 3:2 says I can bridle my whole body with my tongue, what it seems to be saying is my two problem areas are handled by my mouth, right? My spirit's good, right? Yeah. Saved, born again. It's not wanting to sin. It's in good relationship with God. It's righteous. So that's taken care of. I don't have to be thinking about my spirit. But how am I going to handle that mind of mine? And how am I going to handle that body of mine? Well, the Bible says that I can knock those two things out with one fell swoop. If I'll just watch my mouth, if I'll just control my tongue, I can knock out the problems that I have with my mind and with my body. Glory to God. All right, so moving on here. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. You know, I just want to underscore that example of the ship. Okay? If you want to think of those great big aircraft carriers, you know, those great big huge ships that we have in our time, you know, these ships are, you know, huge, big as towns and cities, right? And yet, we put them where we want to with this little tiny, in comparison to them, this little tiny rudder in the back of them, you know? And I mean, we can avoid storms. They see the weather patterns and they turn that thing and they get out of storms. I mean, they are, it is amazing what we can do with a rudder on a ship. And our lives are just like that. And I want you to understand that if you are someplace you don't want to be, anywhere in your life, relationally, money-wise, if you're dealing with fear, dealing with whatever it might be, you drove yourself there with your tongue. I mean, that, you are where you are. I am where I am because of the words that I've said. And the only thing you have to do to get anywhere is to start saying that. Turn that rudder. Now, it takes time. Those great big aircraft carriers, I mean, it does take time. If they're going north and they want to go south, you know, you don't turn the rudder and, you know, no, there's some ground covered, right? There's some time, you know, to get that thing. But I'll tell you what. I mean, you can say, well, I turned that rudder 5 minutes ago. We're still going the same direction. This isn't working. No, it is working. Your words are working. And if you'll just stay with the right words, they will get you to the destination that you want to go in any area of your life. Don't forsake. Don't give up. Protect your faith with your words, and it will come to pass. We Christians have two great weapons. I don't know which side, but we'll say on the left hand, we have our faith. We have our belief in our heart. On the right hand, we have our words in our mouth. Did you know that because of the work of Jesus on the cross, your faith in your heart and your words in your mouth have already moved you from hell to heaven? With your words and your faith, you have moved yourself by God's grace from hell to heaven. There is nothing further apart than hell and heaven. If you can move yourself from hell to heaven, is poverty to riches hard? Is sickness to health hard? Is my marriage is going down to my marriage is heaven on earth hard? You have already moved yourself from hell to heaven. You can do this. I can do this. Thank God. Well, brother, it's not working. What did you say? It's not working. Actually, it is. Because you said it's not working, and it's not working.
It's working.
That means it's working. Well, it doesn't work for me. What's that now? You understand that everything that you could say about this doesn't change this truth. It just reveals how you're working it. I'm always sick. What did you say? Well, it obviously doesn't work. I'm always sick. What did you say? I'm always sick. Are you always sick? Yes. It's working. Right? And so, it works for everybody. Works for everybody. Hallelujah. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit of it. What does that mean? If I love to talk, they that love to talk. If I love to talk death, I'm going to eat death all day long. If I love to talk life, I'm going to eat life all day long. It works. It's working for you. You know, let me just say something that I've noticed. Brother Hagin taught us this, and this is something that I think I've seen, I believe. Pastor Mike, he can help us with it. I believe I've seen good faith Christians miss it in this area many, many times. I want to warn you about it. I've seen people go through a really hard time with sickness and disease, and they've got the victory, but then in their testimony, they're talking, I was at this doctor this many times. I had this many surgeries. I had this many strokes. I had this many. I had this many. God brought me out. Well, good. But Brother Hagin used to say, I don't talk sickness. And what they don't realize is they're talking sickness, even though they got through it. You know, but you know, it's kind of like what if there was a young teenager guy and the Lord he was dating a girl that wasn't the right one for him, and the Lord told him and he obeyed God and broke it off. But what if this young teenager guy was like carrying a picture of this girl around, hey, and everyone he talked to, hey, this is this beautiful girl, she's so beautiful, she's so hot, but I wasn't supposed to be with her, so I broke up with her. I obeyed God. Thank God he helped me. Man, I still have her number in my phone. I wasn't supposed to be with her, but that's how strong I am. I still have her number in my phone, but I wasn't supposed to be. You see what's going to happen? Guess what's going to happen? That guy's going to end up back with that girl. Because that's not a testimony per se. He's talking that girl. And don't talk sickness and disease. You can say a few things, talk to your doctor about it, say a quick thing about it, but don't talk it. Talk Jesus, talk God, talk faith. That's going to help us.
Amen.
All right, too much time out of the Word. How are we doing? Lord, we just glorify you. Too much time out of the Word. Let's go to Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. These are standard scriptures. I know you guys have been to them many, many times, but you know, I'm just endeavoring to water what Pastor Mike is teaching and you know, maybe help with a new perspective, a little bit of a different perspective. I wait for my people in Spain quite a while because they're new, so you're probably like, what are you waiting for? Sorry. I'm waiting for my people in Spain. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, we're designed to be full of the Word. You know, that's just how God made us. He wants us to have the Word just saturate our lives. And it's in that place that our faith really works. Let me teach you something about, you might already know, but maybe you don't. So Brother Hagin was a wonderful man of faith. I mean, he had seen, you know, raised off a deathbed, his kids healed multiple times, you know, wonderful faith testimonies. But at times, before he believed God for healing, he would spend hours in the Word, going back over the scriptures he had read probably hundreds of times before, that he could probably quote them all. But one thing that he talked about doing when he had a trial where his daughter had a growth on her eye, and he was going to pray for her, and later he did pray for her, and the growth went away. But before he prayed for her, he was doing meetings, so he had to be ready for the meetings and stuff. But he would take a half an hour, and he would read through the healing scriptures, and he would meditate the healing scriptures, and then he would work for an hour on what he had to work on. Then he'd go back and do another half an hour on those healing scriptures, work or sleep if it was the middle of the night for an hour. And he kept going back. You know, he'd do what he had to do, but then he'd go back and just meditate those healing scriptures and meditate those healing scriptures and meditate those healing scriptures and build up his faith. If your faith is weak, you know, if your faith isn't producing results, man, the answer is to get back into the Word. Spend more time in the Word. You know, a lot of Christians, I go to a faith church. I believe these things. I'm practicing them, but they're not producing the results I need. Man, cross the board, carte blanche, go back, get back into the Word, delve back into the Word, spend more time. Do the Brother Hagin method. Say, hey, I remember the Brother Hagin method. You know, I'll tell you, just my own testimony. I know you can't relate to this, but, you know, 5-10 years ago, you know, I would always, you know, every year I'd get a cold or a flu, and I'd just, you know, kind of grunt through it. You know, I'm a faith man, by stripes I'm healed. I'd go to work, and I'd believe God, and I'd get through it. But, I mean, for about 4 or 5 days, you know, you're just, you know, that was, so... one of the things that I started to do is I remember Brother Hagin said that he would feed on healing every day. So I started. I got health food devotionals written by him, and I would do that every day. It took maybe, you know, 5 minutes a day, whatever. You tell the testimony, give a scripture, give a confession. You do the confession. Well, I did that for 9 months, and I didn't notice any difference. And then after 9 months, I realized, I was like, man, I feel great. I haven't been sick. I haven't. And so, you know, I just felt so much better. Well, then I heard him telling about his little half an hour thing he does, the Brother Hagin method. And I said, man, I'm feeling so good with this 5 minutes a day. When I have some other challenge or something comes up, I'm going to do the half hour method. So one recent testimony, I was recently in Switzerland with a pastor friend of mine, and he had set up this trip, and he came over. Well, he had been in Africa on a mission trip a month before or so, and he caught a communal pneumonia when he was in Africa, and he was doing lots of yucky things, coughing like you've never heard anyone cough, sometimes coughing up blood and stuff. And so he didn't really tell me. He said, I've got some symptoms. I said, okay, well, I'll stand with you, you know. Well, he got there, and boy, I knew what his symptoms were. And I was like, brother, you don't have to come. If you're like this, you do not have to come. So anyway, we're shut up in this little one-bedroom apartment in the Bernese Alps of Switzerland. You know, neither of us have health insurance there. And this guy I used to have a friend that would say, hacking up a lung. He literally, I mean, this was crazy. I'd never heard anything like it. And you know, after a little bit of time, that started to get on me. Have you ever been around something that starts to get on you? You know what I mean? I'm starting to feel like I've got a fever. I'm starting to feel like I've got the communal pneumonia of Africa. And I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do with this guy? And what am I going to do with me? Pretty soon, we're both going to need to be medevaced out of here. And so I'm thinking about that. I didn't say it. I was thinking it. And then I remembered, wait, I know the Brother Hagin method. I'm on a mission trip, I've got things I have to do, but I could do the healing scriptures for a half an hour, then some things I need to do for an hour or two, and then healing scriptures for half. You know, and I'm just going to keep, I'm going to do the Brother Hagin method until I feel good. And I went into my bedroom and I opened up the healing scriptures and I started to meditate the healing scriptures. And you know, by the time I got through a half an hour of that, I felt so good. I felt so alive. I felt so strong. I never had to go back. We love to go back, but I didn't have to meditate anymore. I was fine for the rest of the trip. And he did live. So just so you know. So, I mean, get in the Word about things. If your faith isn't working, when your car isn't working, what do? You take it to a mechanic, but I hope the first thing you do is make sure there's gas in the tank. There's some things we can handle ourselves, right? You know, the first thing you ought to do if your car won't start is make sure there's gas in the tank. You know, then make sure your battery's charged, make sure and once you've done what you can do, then take it to a mechanic. Pastor Mike's our mechanic. When our faith isn't working, the first thing that we do isn't call Pastor Mike. The first thing we do is make sure that it has enough fuel, all right? The fuel for our faith is the Word of God. If your tank's empty, you can have it all. You're a Christian. You could be a beautiful car, a beautiful Christian, have a nice paint job. Everything is just right. But if your tank's empty, you're not going to work, you know? And so just make sure your tank is full. Glory to God. All right, one prayer too many. You guys know this, but I thought this testimony was so powerful, I wanted to share it with you. This is actually out of that healing devotional, May 1st through the 3rd, in case you're interested. But, you know, we have to be careful. The Bible says that when we pray, we believe we receive in Mark 11:24, right? And when we believe we receive, it's a done deal. We don't, you know, think about when you order from Amazon. You order a beautiful dress or a nice shirt from Amazon because you need one. You need a shirt, you need a dress. You click the thing, you put in the number, bang. You do not shut down the computer and go, I don't have a shirt. I don't have a dress. What am I going to do? I ordered one. It must be Amazon's not on the throne. Must be Amazon isn't working. Must be my... No, you asked. You trust Amazon enough to call your friend. I just ordered a great dress. Well, where is it? Oh, well, it's on its way. That's not weird, right? So then why is it weird when we order something from God in prayer and then say, hey, I've got this. Oh, well, where is it? It's on its way. We can do that with Amazon all day long, but then for some reason with God, it's weird. Well, why? Is it because Amazon's real and God isn't? Is that why it's weird? Why is it weird? Right? No. So we ask once, and then we don't go order another. We don't, like, order a dress on Amazon constantly until it comes. What's going to happen? We're going to get 1,000 dresses for the next, you know, several weeks. No, that doesn't work. We order once, and we rejoice until it comes. And then after a week, if it's not there, we check on, oh, well, let's see, something's not quite right. We can do that with our faith. This is taking a little longer than I thought. What can I tweak some things around the edges? But it's still ordered. Amen. It's still done. Amen. Right? Amen. All right. Listen to this. This is a really amazing testimony. It's unfortunately not good news, but it teaches us an important lesson. I'm going there now on my, as a missionary, you travel light, so everything is on my. Oh, come on now. Better work for me. I had it open earlier. Not you. Y'all pray. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. This is what we want. All right, we're going to make it. Listen, let me give you a real-life illustration. This is Brother Hagin. I was invited to preach at a church in East Texas. Before I got up to speak, the pastor said, "We're going to receive an offering tonight for Brother Hagin." At that moment, a woman in the congregation stood up and said, "Pastor, before you pray over the offering, I feel like we should pray for Sister so-and-so. She lives next door to me. The doctor came to visit her and said she would not live past midnight." It was 8 o'clock in the evening. The pastor said, "Yes, let's all stand and pray for this sister." So we prayed. Then the pastor said, "How many of you believe God has heard you?" Most of the people lifted their hands and praised God that he heard us. The next night, the same thing happened. This particular woman stood up before the offering was taken and said, "Pastor, I feel we should continue to pray for Sister so-and-so. The doctor thought that she would die last night. You know, I live next door to her, and I was there at 8 o'clock this morning when the doctor checked on her. He said she's past the crisis. She's come out of it. Get her out of bed and let her sit in a chair 2 or 3 times a day. She's going to make it." Because of our praying, God touched this woman who was given up to die. Now notice what the woman in the congregation said. She continued, "But she's terribly weak." Naturally, she would be. She's been bedfast and has just come through a crisis. "We know God touched her all right. Let's pray that God would complete the work." Now remember, we prayed for a completed work the night before. Then the pastor said, "That's right, I was at her house today. We know God touched her. Even the doctor admits that she's out of danger and she's going to make it. Let's stand up and pray for her again." As soon as the pastor began praying, I heard the following in my spirit: "Now they've taken her out of my hands and she'll die. Within 3 days, she'll be dead." I knew it was the voice of the Lord speaking to me. On the third day, the woman died, just as the Lord said. You see, we had placed her in God's hands, and then we took her out of God's hands. What should we have done? Instead of praying for complete healing again, we should have stood in agreement and said, "We are all going to stand up and agree that she is well. We are going to thank God for it." That way, we would have stayed in faith. Many times, a whole church places a person in God's hands and then turns right around and takes him out of God's hands. God wants to heal the person, but he can't. Why? God operates on certain laws and principles. You see how, like, it's not, you know, again, and we don't want to get real crazy about it, but it's important that when we're praying that we're giving it to God and then leaving it with God. You understand what I'm saying? And not these things just take a little bit of skill and a little bit of finesse sometimes, and it'll come to pass in our lives. I'm just going to leave that one at that. We're kind of running out of time, so I'm going to just quickly go over the last three and let you guys. All right. So unforgiveness and lack of love. You know, the Bible says faith worketh by love, and I think this is just, we understand. Listen, God has for us to have peace in our homes, peace at our work, peace in our schools. You know, and when we are, you know, we all get frustrated with each other. We get frustrated with people. But when we let that lead to strife, you know, it just, I'm telling you, when we walk in strife, the devil eats our lunch. It's an open door. He comes in. And, you know, some people, I don't know that anyone here is in this case, but some people have lived their lives so long, that maybe they grew up in a home where there was a lot of arguing and a lot of strife and a lot of, contention, that they don't even recognize really what, have you ever gone up to someone in the store or at work or something, and they're just, they're high strung. They don't even realize it because they're so used to it, but they're just, you can only, bask in that glow for so long because it's too, so what I'm saying is there's a place of peace. You know, the Bible in Isaiah 26:3 calls it peace, peace. If you look at the Hebrew, and it's translated in the King James as perfect peace. God is a God of peace. and the nagging and the you know that's not God. Never works in that faith. You know, there's certain things that conduct electricity. Copper does. You know, rubber does not. Well, strife is like faith rubber. It just can't pass through there to get anything done for you. You know, love is faith copper or faith gold. Man, it just shoots through there and brings powerful results. So, you know, work to have peace in your home. Work to have peace in your job, to have peace on your drive. Peace, peace, peace. Sometimes some of the people we're listening to on the radio, some of the TV shows, you can tell, can't you? Get sensitive. Some shows just bring me into your house. You know what me is? I'm not sure. It's hard to define. But you know, some radio programs just bring me to you. You don't want me. God isn't me. You know, you want, find those things that bring you and drive out the knee. All right, undisciplined thinking. You know, and again, I'm just to save time. You've been to Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know, the Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I was born again. I was filled with the Spirit years and years before I had victory in my life. And I thought, well, I'm already born again. I'm already Spirit-filled. I've got it all. How is it that I'm not walking in victory? Well, that verse is the key. You're conformed to the world if you think wrong. You're going to live just, you're going to have strife, you're going to have sickness, you're going to have just all those things. But if you think like God, then you'll be transformed into his image and his likeness. There's a great example. You remember those circus elephants? You know, they drive a stake into the ground and they never move away from those stakes. Well, those elephants are much, much stronger than that stake and rope. So what is it that keeps that elephant there? Well, when he was a little junior elephant, you know, a little tiny elephant, they staked him to that thing, and he pulled and struggled against that thing for, you know, a few months, and then he learned in his mind that he would never get away from that. And then after he grew so big, he never tried again. The elephants are quote-unquote smart. Be careful if you're too smart. You know, and that's, listen, I'm telling you, what is keeping you staked to the things in your life that God doesn't have for you? It's not the things. The sickness is not strong enough. You've got God in you now. The poverty isn't strong enough. You've got God in you now. What's keeping you staked? The same thing that's keeping that elephant staked. What kept the elephant staked there? It wasn't the stake. It wasn't the rope. It was his mind. So, I mean, blow the doors off that thing. Just open that up, and you will see all that God has for thee. I believe that. Okay, and the last one, wrong relationships. 1 Corinthians 15:33, you can write that down, says, I did a little rich translation here with the Greek. It's evil companionship corrupts moral habits. Evil companionship corrupts moral habits. And you know, you run with people that are doing drugs. You run with people that are doing what they shouldn't do. You run with people that are you know, just steeped in doubt and unbelief and don't want to change. It's going to get on you. Oh, well, you know, I can do it. But I go to church. I'm a good Christian. And I'm going to influence them. Well, you know, if the Lord leads you, you can minister and speak to some people. But running with people... Daphne's mom has a great saying. She always used to say, show me who you spend your time with, and I'll tell you who you are. Now, let's go back, because the Lord just gave me this example, and I think it's pretty cool. So you tell me if you think it is, or if you don't think it is, just sit quietly. Okay, you say, well, but I can change them. I can be around those guys, and I can change them, and I can be a good influence. Well, let's just say that we have a banquet, and we clean our plates just... We put out 20 plates, and they are sterile, the cleanest of the clean. And we set up this thing, and 10 people come to our banquet, and they're not real good friends, so they sit around the table with a space in between them, right? And then, so the banquet is over, and we have to clean up the banquet. All right, now we have a dirty plate, a clean plate, a dirty plate, a clean plate. Now, these plates that are clean are sterile. Man, you could do surgery on them, right? Okay, so we're in a big hurry, so we grab all these plates and we stack them up together and we go to the kitchen. All right, so now, let me ask you a question. This stack of plates, do we put it away in the cupboard or do we put it in the dishwasher? What? Tell me. Anybody here would put that away in the cupboard? Well, wait, but if you're clean, you can influence someone and make a dirty person clean, right? No, that's not the nature of things. Dirty things make clean things dirty. Clean things do not make dirty things clean. Right? That's the very nature of things. And so be careful who you hang out with. Even if you're strong, even if you're godly, it's just not the nature of things. You know, we're careful how we interact with people who don't know God and what kind of access we give them to our lives. All right. Glory to God. God is good, right? He is God. And we're going to follow him and we're going to walk with him and we're going to be fruitful in our faith. Now, what are we going to do? If our faith hasn't been working quite as well, there's probably one or two of these areas where we can make some adjustments in our speaking, in taking more time in the Word, in making sure we pray once and act like Amazon, don't go back and keep clicking. Undisciplined thinking, we're going to discipline our thinking and think in line with the Word, and we are going to get rid of wrong relationships. And I forgot, unforgiveness and lack of love, we're going to get that out of our lives, right? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much and just thank you for this wonderful group of divine folks with divine destiny. God, we know that you have sent them here to South Dayton to impact this area, to impact this region. Olean to impact Olean, like missionaries to South Dayton, missionaries to Olean. And we just thank you for the grace. We thank you for the ability. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for the body working together as one to see that divine destiny fully come to pass. I just speak faith and strength and peace and love over this congregation, that they're knit together, that they're joined together, that they've got each other's backs, and that they are moving together in all that God has for them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, quickly, let's just real quick, close your eyes for me. And I'm just going to ask you, you have a wonderful church, your pastor is wonderfully anointed, but I'm going to ask you two questions. Number one, if none of this made sense to you because you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, you can have that today. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he rose again, and that's the way into all of these truths, to accept him as our Lord and Savior. And I'm not going to take a lot of time, but is there anyone here who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus? Raise your hand. This is your night. Okay. Is there anyone here that had a relationship with Jesus? Not that you're trying, but not making it, but you just went away. You decided to leave. Anyone like that? Okay. I see that hand. Brother, the Lord saw you from way back, and he brought you here tonight. He loves you. He has a plan for your life here in this church, and it's going to be good. Is there anybody else? We have someone who was bold. He went away from Father's house, but he's come back. God doesn't remember any of that. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else that needs to pray one of those two prayers, either to be born again or to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior? We've had one. Anybody else? Okay, let's do this all together real loud as a church with our mouth. You know, the Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, so we've got to use our mouth. It's not something we do inside our head. It's something we do. So let's pray this all together with that one that got born again. If you need to do that, then God will hear you. But let's just join our brother and all boldly declare our faith in Christ. You can pray after me, not to me. Pray after me to God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. Your Son Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He rose again so that I could be saved. I confess Jesus as my Lord. I believe in my heart that He rose from the dead. And now I'm saved. Thank you, Father. You are my Father. And I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you've come to church. You've heard from God. Keep coming to this church. Read your Bible. Talk to God in prayer as a friend. And you will grow, grow, grow. All right, Pastor Mike.
Well, I was helped. Amen. Praise God. He's good to us, isn't He? You know, those are principles that will literally change your life for the better. Amen. We're so grateful. Thank you both for coming here. We're going to go ahead and take up an offering now. Because, you know, the Bible says where your heart is, your finances will be. And I just know as the pastor of this church, our heart is with them. Personally, as friends, our heart is with them. But also the Word says that when we are taught the Word of God, it's right to sow into them. They taught us spiritual things. It's right to sow into them natural things. And just, again, there should be an offering envelope, of course, in the seat that you sat on or in the seat back in front of you. And if you brought an offering to church tonight to sow into the church, we're going to sow that into the walker. So sow your walker offering and the church offering into that. If you did bring your tithe, go ahead, put that in. Be obedient to God and just clearly mark your envelope. You can make checks payable, of course, to Family Church, and we'll make sure that they get a big check here before they leave town, and we'll make sure to bless them and send them away and know that they know that Family Church South Dayton loves them. Amen. And that we're with them. Praise God. So go ahead and fill out your offering envelopes. Hallelujah. You know, as you were mentioning about taking your time to flip in the Word because your people in Spain are newer, and I just thought, how precious that people in another part of the world that would have never got to hear this stuff if it wasn't for people that would answer the call. And it's just so precious thinking about baby Christians flipping through the Bible to want to find where it is and time being taken for them to get there. And then hearing this stuff that will transform their lives, overturn destinies in their life. And the cool thing about it is that we might not ever be called to do that, to go far away like that or to be missionaries. But we can still do the work of a missionary and help missionaries by sending our finances. And when they're teaching those people and helping those people wherever God has them to be, now and in the future, we're a part of that. Praise God. And that's what's so exciting. And I do encourage you, if you want, you know, we partner personally with them, but also the ministry partners with them. If that's something that's on your heart, I do encourage you to do that, you know. Number one, because it helps the kingdom go forward. But number two, it's good investment. Praise God. And if you want more information on partnering, you can see me personally about that, and I'll make sure to get you connected. And again, as your pastor, I do encourage you to be partners with these ministers. Amen? Father, we thank you. Brothers, you can come forward. Father, we thank you so much for what we received tonight. Lord, we do count it an honor. And Lord, as I was sitting there and getting fed tonight, I was so grateful, Father, for the gifts and the abilities, the talents and the spiritual anointings that you've placed on Reverends Rich and Daphne. And Father, we're just so thankful for them and thankful that they would have time to be able to come here and to minister to us. And Father, the things that we received tonight certainly are life-changing. And Lord, you said in the Word, if we receive spiritual things, is it that much that we would sow natural things back? And Father, the natural doesn't compare to what we receive. So Father, it's an honor to sow into them tonight. And so Father, as we give tonight, we just thank you all their needs are met, Father, personally and in their ministry. Father, we thank you for favor and for divine connections for them. We thank you for open doors. And Father, we just thank you for blessing that you add unto them, Father, spiritually and naturally. And Father, as we give tonight, we stand on your Word and we believe the Word. And we thank you as we give. It comes back to us, good measure, pressed down, shake it together and running over. Father, an offering is like a seed. And I know this, when you put a seed in good ground, things happen. And Father, there's certainly good ground. And so as we give tonight, Father, we thank it comes back to us multiplied. We thank it comes back bigger so we could be more blessed, Father, to be a bigger blessing to the kingdom and what you would have us to do on this earth. So, Father, we thank you for what we received tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Brothers, you can go ahead and serve. As the offering bucket is going by, I do encourage you. First of all, let's release our faith. Say this with me. Say, all the money, that Walker Ministry needs, it comes. All the money that Walkers need personally, it comes. All the money my church needs, it'll come. All the money that my business needs, it'll come. And all the money that I personally need, it'll come. In Jesus' name. Now, before you run out of here, don't forget, on the front table there in the foyer, there is a sign-up sheet there if you would like to be on their email list so that you can get updates from them and what they're doing all over the world, and they'll be happy to let you know. I get those emails quite often, and it's always a blessing when we do. So let's stand to our feet and give God praise tonight. Don't you think we ought to leave here thankful? Lord, we love you tonight. Come on, you ought to be happier than you are, because, my goodness, thank you, Lord, for what we received tonight. Father, we thank you that our lives are changed. These truths from your word, Father, we walk out of here different tonight because of it. And Father, we thank you and give you the glory. Give you the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said with a shout, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.